Game one is in the books. We're headed to game two in the NBL Championship Series a little bit later this week, but plenty to talk about out of that first game on Sunday. Damon Lowry in the hot seat this morning, as always. We'll wash up game one about the battle of the coaches, a little bit of a side stash to this contest, and then start to preview that game two, all important on Friday in Tassie. Let's get into it. NBL Now. Tuesday the 19th of March, we are in the midst of the Championship Series in NBL 24. Joel Pederson and Damon Lowry with you on a Tuesday as usual. Good morning to you, Mr. Lowry.
JP is here, man, finally. The Championship Series, it took us all this time to get here, but now it's on.
It is very much on, and it was on Sunday, that's for sure. Melbourne United, convincing winners. What was your takeaway from game one? Was that a surprise, the manner in which they did it?
I actually tipped United to get game one. And it was a rock solid win. I'm not going to say it was a beatdown. The second quarter got away from the Jack Jumpers. The Melbourne United flexed in that second quarter, a little bit in the last quarter. But it was just a win they had to have. In this 1-1-1-1-1 format, I hope that changes one day. But, Melbourne United did what they had to do. And like I predicted, Chris Golden, the Gladiator, he lit up the Coliseum. He lit up John Cain Arena. 6 of 10 from deep water. And some of those threes he hit, man. I mean, they're just bad shots for normal men. Just for the average mortal man. Bad shots. But for Chris, man, them are almost layups for that dude. So, yeah, it was good to see him get off to a good start. I might have to readjust my tip. I had the Jackies in 4. Now I'm going to stretch it out to say Jackies in 5.
Okay, so it hasn't shaken your confidence in the Jackies to win the series, but it makes it pretty hard to get it done in 4, doesn't it?
It makes it hard because there's no way Melbourne United are losing 3 games in a row.
They haven't lost 2 in a row all season.
Well, exactly. So they're definitely not going to lose 3 in a row. But this is a series now. It's a chess match. The chess match has started. Now Melbourne United have already thrown the first punch. Hobart, Tassie go back to Hobart, regroup, reshuffle some decks, some cards, make the adjustments, and then come out and get game 2.
Speaking of throwing punches, what about the two coaches? Just getting into it a little bit off the side. Scott Roth, of course, saying no one, the tiny little island comments and no one respects us and people look down on us. And then Dean Vickerman had a little bit to say about that in the pregame on Sunday. And then Scott Roth said, you know, I'm disappointed in those comments. There are working class people down there. People love to punch down on Tassie. It's been good fun. What have you made of the two coaches getting into it?
Wow, I'm surprised at Dino. Now, I'm not even fooled for a minute that Dean, when he gets in his press conferences and he's all mild-mannered and kind of softly spoken, I ain't falling for that. Dean is a killer. We've seen Dean stalk those sidelines for years, giving referees the absolute business. It's just surprising that Dean would go with another coach. That's what I'm actually surprised at. To give another team some bulletin board material, that's not Dean's style. So, and Scott Roth, who we know is pro coach, he will never have a bad word to say about any coaches in the league, no matter how bad they're doing. So Dean is legit. I mean, yeah, Dean ruffled the feathers of Scott Roth, and Scott is genuinely disappointed. And when Scott's disappointing you, it's like when your grandfather, or your uncle, some father figure goes, "You really let me down." it hurts a little bit, but Dean don't give a damn. And maybe Dean is starting to embrace this whole narrative that the Melbourne United are actually the evil dark side. Maybe they're the evil empire. Maybe he's Darth Vader. Who knows? So if we can get a bad guy in a good guy fight in the grand final championship series, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's good fun. It just adds a little bit to the show. I mean, there's nothing too much in it. We don't need to blow it out of proportion that it's some.
No, let's blow it out of proportion, Joe. I want all them 4,000 poisonous little ants crawling all over Dean's head in game 2.
All right. We can roll with that. I reckon I got a feeling, though, that you've been in that building and the Tassie fans will boo at the wind changing. if they don't like that it, the direction it's coming from, I reckon Dean Vickerman might even hear it from the Tassie fans. We've seen players hear it. We've seen Justin Robinson cop it. But a coach getting booed, that's a different experience.
Yeah, I think Chase Buford might have copped a little bit of the wrath in a game once upon a time. But yeah, it would be good viewing, some good entertainment for the masses. But I'm expecting the Jack Jumpers to respond with or without that comment Dean made. That's not about basketball. But about the basketball, I'm firmly expecting the Jack Jumpers to respond.
Yep, absolutely. Of course, been a big week in Tassie. Launched their AFL team yesterday. The Jack Jumpers have played a big role in that. And really, I guess they've given them a model to follow. So they'll be hoping that they can get that win on Friday. Let's focus in on some players. Luke Travers, you mentioned that the matchup between Travers and McVay would be critical to the way that this series pans out. Luke Travers has had an outstanding postseason thus far. He continued that on Sunday. I mean, he just keeps getting better and better.
Luke Travers is an NBA player, and I'm sure there's somebody over there in Perth right now thinking, how do we mess this up? But Luke Travers, he even though his stats wasn't glorious in game one, you could just see what he can do. The guy can get a rebound, go coast to coast. He is not even hesitating on his three balls no more. I remember when he used to hesitate. The only person maybe in this series that can stop Luke Travers is Dean Vickerman with those subs every 6 to 7 minutes instead of letting LT just go off. But he's big time, man. He got three NBA dudes in that team, you know, Ian Clark, Deli, and Luke Travers. And Luke Travers is that matchup. And Jack McVay, he forced him in some ill-advised, non-Jackie way shots. He kind of got Jack McVay out of his rhythm. So yeah, full credit to Luke Travers. He took the honors in game one for sure.
What about the member of the Little Big Man Society, Jordan Crawford? We know that he's been struggling for a little while now. That's continued. Scott Roth's gone into bat for him, as you'd expect, in terms of the shooting slump that's been prolonged now. We've seen Sean McDonald play ahead of him in crunch time in recent games. Can they get him back on the right track at this stage of the season, Jordan Crawford?
Absolutely. Now, obviously, I'm flying the flag for the Little Big Man, the president, Jordan Crawford, who finished the regular season averaging 17. I mean, that's no accident. He is right now in a playoff shooting slump. He ain't playing bad basketball. He did have a few turnovers in game one, but he's not playing bad basketball. He just can't make a shot. And when a scorer don't score, obviously it looks like the world's coming to an end. But that dude knows who he is. Scott Roth knows who he is. And it's still all about the Jackie way. What happens when the Jack Jumpers, and I've said this earlier in the season, anytime things get a little bit tough and it feels like they need to score, Jordan can go one-on-one. And if those shots don't drop, it plays into the hands of the defense. In this case, it played into the hands of the Melbourne United. But Jordan, my man, if you're listening, if you're up, you know who you are. Every little big man in Australia got your back, man. I still believe, and you know this, nobody on that team can guard you. It's only a matter of time. We ain't even going to freak out about it. Just keep balling, focus on the D. When the shots start dropping, you just have your little wiggle dance ready.
And when he gets going, if he gets going, he does raise their ceiling significantly for the Jack Jumpers. So we do hope to see him in some fine form very soon. Heading toward that game two, what does Tassie need to change? What do they need to do to get back in this series if they're to win this second game? What's going to be the sort of the deciding thing, the deciding factor that makes up the difference?
They're going to have to win the battle of the big man. JLA already got one hand on the Larry Sinstock medal for MVP of the championship series. Will Magnay, Marcus Lee. Them two gotta beat JLA and Ollie Huck-Porty. They just have to. And let me just throw in a little bit of Kyle Bowen too. Kyle Bowen came up with 8 big rebounds in game one. I was surprised how well he played in his first ever championship series. But yeah, that's where it is for me. It's in the interior, and Marcus Lee gotta not get in foul trouble. Will Magnay, I should say, gotta not get in foul trouble. And they have just gotta, it's just mano a mano. They just gotta win that battle.
What's the advantage that Melbourne United has that they can double down on to win game two in your mind?
Melbourne United are now got a bit of a free swing. Now, they go up 1-0 at home. Nobody's really overly surprised about that. The pressure now shifts to the Jack Jumpers. Now, Melbourne United playing free with no pressure. Man, Chris Goldie might let one fly from half court. And just quietly, the little boy from Launceston, who grew up, he turned out, who'd have thought that the best player from Tasmania would have been Chris Goldie? Flying the flag for Lonnie. So they're going to have to make sure that they guard Chris Goldie as soon as he crosses half court, because I just feel like the Melbourne United now, they might sniff a little bit of blood in the water, Joe. If they get up and go and come back to Melbourne two games up, all hell going to break loose.
Yeah, they're a ruthless team. They'll be in for the kill. And I reckon Chris Goldie heading back to his home state, he might just want to put on a little bit of a show and have a bit of fun with that Tassie crowd. So game two, of course, is on Friday in this championship series between Melbourne United and Tassie, 7:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Of course, you can catch it in all the usual places and all the news you need in the lead up on the NBL app and nbl.com.au. A bit of news that came through over the last couple of days. It was, I guess, the first roster domino to fall in the sense of player moving from team to team. We've seen a few re-signings, but Sam Enenga going from the Cairns Taipans, who released him from the final year of the contract, to the New Zealand Breakers. ESPN's Olgan Ulick reporting later on that New Zealand actually paid out the second year of his deal with Cairns to get him across to the Breakers. So the Kiwi big man, the latest in a long line of talents to come through the Auckland product or the Auckland production line and land with the Breakers. He heads back home. What do you make of that signing of New Zealand of Sam Enenga?
First of all, full credit to Matt Walsh and Modi Maior, because apparently a couple of hours after they lost in the playoffs, they was already talking about roster move. They was already recruiting, trying to retool for the following season, because they obviously going to lose some key players. For the Cairns Taipans to lose Sam Enenga. Now, we don't know the ins and outs of what really happened over there, but we can see throughout the course of the year, Sam Enenga was yo-yoed that whole season. When he was good, that dude was really good. Rebounding well, knocking down three balls. How many times can you get a local player of this size and of this skill? They are valuable players in this league. You can always get an import. You can't always get a 6'10" Aussie or Kiwi. So, yeah, Cairns dropped the ball on that one, and I can't imagine that was mutual. So now, great pickup by the Breakers, because now they had Dane Pinot under contract for another year, and Dane is very serviceable. Mango Matiang, we don't know what his future plans are. I thought he was serviceable as well, but there's no way you turn your nose down or up to a guy like Sam Enenga. So that is a massive piece already for Modi Maior and the Breakers, and can't wait to see him back home.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating offseason for New Zealand, depending on just how many of their imports that they need to replace. We know the PJC has signed in Turkey, but what they have to do, and if it's another full roster reshuffle in terms of their imports, it's another big job for Murdo Maior and Matt Walsh. As you said, they got started very, very early in the piece. So there's going to be so much more of that free agency news that lands as the weeks go by, which is very exciting. Damon, great chatting hoops with you on a Tuesday morning, as always. Look forward to talking to you through the week.
That's it. Thanks, man.
Damon Lowry there, NBL champion. Of course, NBL now in your feed throughout the course of the week in the lead up to game two.